Welcome to the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Red Fox Roto, Dan Thompson. And if anybody was hoping for a short respite from the chaos that has dominated closers and saves so far this year, well, you'll just have to keep on waiting. These are stormy seas we're navigating right now. And right now is Saturday, April 25th. So let's preview the best weekend waiver wire additions, along with our latest news and notes, as always. Today, I'm going with a bit of a hybrid version of the Fab episode. I'm going to incorporate NFBC ownership percentages, the waiver targets, within the news for each relevant bullpen as I move through them, rather than separating news and having the bid targets at the end like I've been doing. So it's a little different. Let's see how it goes. We'll start in Atlanta, where Robert Suarez is only 4% available in those NFBC online championship leagues, but he is the top short-term waiver wire target in that rare league where he can be added. The Braves aren't anticipating a long absence from Raisel Iglesias, whose imaging came back clean on his shoulder. We should expect Iglesias to resume as the team's closer when he's back, so Suarez may only have another full week or maybe two to function as that primary closer, but he's a very strong pickup while he's doing so. And because his time could or should be limited, the bids should be also kept at moderate levels. But even after Raisel Iglesias is back, Robert Suarez will continue to be one of the top handcuffs. Now over in Tampa, Brian Baker is just 1% available on NFBC. That number might be higher on other platforms, but it's probably very low everywhere. He should be 100% universally rostered at this point in any leagues that count saves. Brian Baker is the Rays' primary closer. I didn't think we'd be saying that about anyone this year, but here we are. Edwin Uceta is out with a new shoulder injury. He was transferred to the 60-day IL. He's out for at least another month, could be more. Garrett Clevenger has started his rehab assignment, a rocky start there. But as the lefty in what was a planned committee, he was never going to have an extensive role in the ninth inning anyway. Griffin Jacks is still struggling. He won't be trusted for save opportunities, I imagine, for a long time at this point. So Brian Baker should command a large bid where he's still available. Now over to the Dodgers, where we have a couple good options there. Tanner Scott, 37% available. Alex Vesia, 65% available. And there's been a lot of talk about the Dodgers bullpen after the news of Edwin Diaz missing at least the next 3 months after that broke. I covered this situation on Tuesday's episode, so I won't get into a lot more detail here, but Tanner Scott is not the Dodgers' closer. He should get more saves than anyone else while Diaz is out, but we have a history of Dave Roberts deploying Scott as part of a committee. We have Roberts' own comments after the Diaz injury that he would use a committee, so we just don't want to get carried away on huge bids for Tanner Scott. He should definitely be rostered. He's just not an exclusive closer. He should be the leader of that group, of course, including himself, Alex Vesia, Blake Treinen, any other reliever who's left over after the matchups have played out in a given game. I just don't want to bid over $50 for Scott on NFBC unless I really need someone getting saves. If we're just looking at value for dollar, Alex Vesia may be the better choice at his cheaper price. I'm not too excited about Blake Treinen. He should have the smallest bids of the three. Now, Toronto has seen its share of upheaval in recent weeks. After Jeff Hoffman's four-run grand slam blow up a week ago, he got a strong vote of confidence from his manager. And just a couple days later, he went out and struck out the side in a scoreless save, just allowing a base hit. But the pivotal game was the following day, when Hoffman was brought in again for a save chance, pitching for the third time in 4 days. He struck out the first batter, but then it went single, hit by pitch, run scoring single, and he was done. Louis Varland got a double play from the next batter to end the inning, and Varland got the save. So yesterday, Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins announced the team was moving away from Hoffman in the ninth, that they would use a committee approach to saves. So we should see Louis Varland, Tyler Rogers, perhaps even Braden Fisher as part of this new committee. Varland will likely end up with the most chances, but he's also the bullpen's top fireman, their top multi-inning option that could allow Tyler Rogers more frequently, Braden Fisher less frequently, to slide in for a save chance as well. Louis Varland is available in 36% of leagues, but do not bid triple digits on Louis Varland. He's been fantastic as a reliever this year. He deserves the chance, but that fireman role he's been used, the sometimes multi-innings, he just has an uncertain share of this new committee. And there's still that potential for Jeff Hoffman to earn the job back. All those things work against Varland having the job to himself for a long time. Those are the pitchers worth spending $100 or more on, not in Varland's situation. So moderate bids, preferably under 40 in the NFBC. If you can get Varland for that price, that would be fine. Now, Tyler Rogers, Braden Fisher, they're both almost 100% available. Fisher actually is 100%. Tyler Rogers isn't a better choice than Louis Varland, but he could be a better value, just like Alex Vesia could be a better value than Tanner Scott. The winning bids for Tyler Rogers shouldn't cost too much, and he's in that mix for saves. So he'd be a nice addition to any bid queues, of course, near the bottom. And Braden Fisher, you can throw him in there for a dollar or two at the bottom, and if you get him, you know, hope you luck into a save if you do need to start him. But as for Jeff Hoffman, I think he may still be a hold for a few reasons. Most importantly, his manager is in his corner, and that matters. It wasn't John Schneider saying he's removing Hoffman from the closer role. It was the GM who made the announcement. So this is a situation that has the feel that Hoffman could earn the job back, like the team wants him to be the closer, and everything else, you know, kind of builds on that. But it's up to him, Jeff Hoffman, to pitch well, put up some zeros. And if you look at his numbers, he has pitched like a guy who should have more zeros on his ledger than he does right now. He has an elite 42.1% strikeout rate. His BABIP is an insanely unlucky 609. Oh, 609. His career mark is 300. You know, his home run to fly ball rate is more than double his career mark. His ERA sits at 7.59, but his xERA, his FIP, they're both around 3.3. The xFIP, the Sierra, they're under 2. Hoffman hasn't pitched well, and there's no excuses for him, but he has deserved better than the results we see now. So maybe he gets a chance to get that job back. Now to San Francisco. Ryan Walker is available in 44% of leagues. And just when it looked like we'd seen enough of Joe Vitello's use of Ryan Walker to feel good about possibly cutting him, he goes and saves two games in a row, Tuesday and Wednesday, against the Dodgers of all teams. Almost half of Walker owners had already decided they were done with him. They moved on. But it appears we may need to be back in cautiously this time. Vitello's bullpen management has been a wild card. I'd prefer Walker in maybe the $30 range, possibly up into the 40s. It depends on team context. I don't want to spend too much to get him. I still like Keaton Wynn as the stash there in that bullpen. Wynn has seemed to have the most consistent usage late with the lead, and he's performing very well in those opportunities. But Ryan Walker started as the closer. He has the last two saves in a row. We should look at getting him back again. Now in Houston, we have Eniel De Los Santos at 21% availability. And he has the last three saves for the Astros, all within the past 11 days. Josh Hader is out for at least another full month. Brian Abreu was used yesterday while down 8 runs. He topped out at 95 miles per hour. He averaged over 97 last year. Really feels like something is just not right with Brian Abreu. The left-handed Brian King may get some matchup-based chances. But at this moment, Eniel De Los Santos is the favorite to earn the majority of Houston saves, and he should be rostered. He's not a great pitcher, but this would be a roll over skills addition. So bid accordingly, bid reasonably. But Eniel De Los Santos is an option for saves right now. Now back to LA with the Angels, where Jordan Romano is available in 9% of the NFBC OC leagues. After his consecutive blown saves against the Yankees kind of put his role in doubt, we heard Kurt Suzuki make a comment. This was on April 16th about Chase Silseth having positioned himself as an option to take over the closer role. And yeah, about 1 in 10 Romano owners saw a reason to cut him after that. Since then, Silseth lost a lead pitching in the 7th inning last Wednesday, and Romano has pitched the 9th in every appearance this year, his last two since the Silseth comments from Suzuki. Romano has struck out 5 in his last 2 innings. Neither game was a save chance, but again, he's pitching the 9th in every single game. So it's hard to see how Romano isn't still the closer or the favorite for saves for the Angels. And right now we have Kirby Yates out on rehab assignment. But his velocity has been down a couple miles per hour. He allowed 3 runs in his most recent game. He doesn't look ready to come in and take over the closer job. Ben Joyce is still at least several more weeks away from returning. So Jordan Romano isn't a great reliever anymore like he was at his height in Toronto, but he's still good enough to hold down a closer job, and he shouldn't be left on waiver wires this weekend. In Chicago, where the Cubs situation may be the biggest mess in baseball right now, not because they don't have any good relievers like the A's or that nobody has really separated themselves like in maybe Texas, but it's because their top 4 relievers are all hurt. They're down to their number 5 and below. So with Caleb Thielbar, he just went on the IL with a hamstring strain right after it looked like he'd become the new closer there. Daniel Palencia, of course, is out with the lat strain. Although the Cubs are optimistic in saying that he may not miss much more than the minimum 2 weeks. We'll see about that. Phil Maton is on his way back from his knee inflammation, and Hunter Harvey has triceps inflammation. That's not good for him, often injured. So nobody has dropped Daniel Palencia in the OCs, which is good. No one should have. But if someone in your league did somewhere else, go get him. We should drop Caleb Thielbar. It looks like his opportunity will be passed by the time he returns. Hunter Harvey can be ignored while he's hurt. Ben Brown is the guy everyone wants to be the Cubs closer right now, but he's been a multi-inning reliever, and that doesn't appear to be changing. Corbin Martin got a save against the Dodgers yesterday, but of course that doesn't suddenly make him the new closer. So what do we do with this team? For just this upcoming week, this weekend, we can add Corbin Martin, cheap, hope he gets the next save chance because he got the last one, or we can spec on Phil Maton returning before Daniel Palencia does. Maton started his rehab assignment yesterday with a scoreless inning. A couple hits allowed, but he struck out 2. So whether it's Martin or Maton, take your pick. But don't spend more than a few bucks on either. They're both 100% available. Joel Kunal. Joel Kunal is 15% available in NFBC. Now, listeners know I don't like anyone in the A's bullpen. I don't want to invest fab dollars fishing for saves in Sacramento, just like I wouldn't in Colorado. I don't like Joel Kunal's outlook, but if we strip everything away and look at opportunity, it seems he's got it. So if you want to ride the wave, I mean, you may already be writing it down. Kunal has allowed runs in his last two appearances, but saves are saves, and if you need them, maybe he provides a few more. Now I'll finish up in Milwaukee. Both Trevor Megill and Abner Uribe are available in less than 2% of leagues, but there's at least a handful where one of the two is. Now, short term, Uribe, still the favorite for saves there. Long term, Trevor Megill has a chance to get that job back. So we do want to look at how their results have looked lately. Uribe's last four games have all been in the ninth inning, the good sign for him. He has two saves and a win. But his most recent appearance was a tie game where he allowed a home run and took the loss. Now, Trevor Megill has not allowed an earned run in his last four games, but he's also pitched in the sixth, the seventh, and eighth innings for holds, though he does have a 10th inning save. So a change back to Megill doesn't appear imminent, though it could happen down the line. We know Pat Murphy has shown an affinity for Megill to be his ninth inning man, but Megill has to earn it now. So I think we're still holding Megill. Unless you need the roster spot, then a drop is fine. But if you're looking to add Trevor Megill in the rare league he was dropped, just do it cheaply as he waits for another possible chance in the ninth. But if it is Abner Uribe who's available in your league, then a much bigger bid would be necessary to get him. So that is it for this week and the Fab Preview episode. This has been the Bullpen Report and the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'll be back Tuesday to wrap up the weekend results and what happens in Fab and just keep covering the news and notes we need to know. In the meantime, for today, let's close it out.